When I was preparing for ministry back in 2003, 4, 5, 6, it was becoming clearer and clearer. I began to focus on what it is to preach. I began to focus on what it is to help the church, assist the church in any way that the Lord saw fit. I began to listen to some preachers about preaching, not just about what the Bible says, not just about what it is to be righteous and all those things we should be doing, but I began to listen about what it is to preach. And I downloaded about 36 lessons from Alistair Begg, and if you've never heard of him, you should. He's pretty good. He doesn't talk about prophetic things a lot. I haven't checked in with him lately. I'll bet he's mentioned it a bit now. But he's a very good preacher. I'll never forget one of the things that he said about preaching. You're going along in your Bible and you're preaching expository. You know, you're going through and expounding on Scripture as you go. You don't miss anything. And that's what we were doing in 1 Timothy, right? We came to 1 Timothy. And then this war started. And so it's like a canary, what he said is this. Sometimes you do that and then a canary flies into the church. So you're sitting there in your comfortable pews and the canary is flying around the church and you're trying to listen to a pastor talking about 1 Timothy chapter 4. Well, at least I was. I was watching the canary and had to talk about the canary. The canary comes in the room and you start talking about the canary. Israel is the canary. We talked about that last week, didn't we? That actually she's a canary, or depending on how you look at it, she is a nation, he is a son. The canary in the coal mine, the canary in the church. Israel lost at least 1,300 people, and so many, about like 3,000 injured right now, something like that, 2,500. And now Gaza is a complete wreck, and we haven't seen anything yet. The Middle East, Israel is the canary. She's in a coal mine right now. The toxins have reached her, the drums of war, death, brutality. This is ISIS level stuff. This is not war, this is terrorism. Speaking of these things, you know, Gary has been going through God's agenda, and he's headed for the church in the age of the Gentiles, which is coming, and that's the age that we're in right now, is what's called the age of the Gentiles. The church likes to call it the age of grace, where the Lord goes away and everything kind of goes really quiet because the Holy Spirit in the church is holding back the flood tide of evil. Your righteousness holds back the judgments of God. He's already poured your judgment, the judgment that you should receive on His Son. And so there's no judgment for you, zero judgment. There might be a spanking once or twice, but there's no judgment to come for you, except for the Bema Seat, which is a system of rewards by the Lord. But we can see that the age of the Gentiles is coming to a close. We can see that thing slowing down. We can see the church has changed. Much of the denominational church is steep decline. The evangelical church even has problems in it right now. And now we can see wars and rumors of wars and famines and earthquakes and the like, a plague. We see these things, and if we're not, we don't have to really be watching every article, do we? You can hear it. You can listen to people. We know that it's happening because God is going to bang the drums louder. Because people don't want to pay attention to Him. People don't want to hear, "Don't tell me what to do. Don't tell me how to live my life. And God says, don't you know that you can have a life abundantly? You can be saved forever. You can have eternal life. I will give you, he says, all things. And we strive on this planet for our neighbor's stuff. That's what war's about. So, Jesus said that the summer would come, the wheat harvest, and he said that we would see wars and rumors of wars, and then he said, do not be afraid, these are only the beginnings. These things must come, but they are only the beginnings. So, we look at God's Word, and it says the unfolding of your Word gives light. It imparts understanding to the simple. We keep up with the news, and we keep up with these pundits that I mentioned earlier, but we watch and look at the Word, and we use the Word to understand things. So, what does the Word say about these things? Jesus said, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stones those sent to her. How often I have longed to gather your children together, as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were unwilling. Look, your house is left to you desolate. For I tell you that you will not see me again until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Now there's so much packed here. He came to the Jews first, and he said, to Jerusalem and to Israel, you're supposed to go. Even with the word, he told the disciples that. And many Jews got saved after that. But Jesus came to them first, and they denied him. And so he left, and he said, listen, he didn't say, my house is left to you desolate. He said, your house, the house that you built, the satanic synagogue that you built, is left to you desolate. And in Ezekiel chapter 9 and chapter 10, you see that the Lord left Jerusalem. The Spirit of the Lord came up above the temple, above the threshold, above the Temple Mount, and left to the east. And then the Lord said, you won't see me again until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. They did not realize that the Shekinah glory of God, the one that used to be in the holy temple, was residing in the tent of that man, Jesus Christ. And that, do you know, he will come through the eastern gate again, Ezekiel says again. He will enter the eastern gate. You say, how can that be? It's all blocked off. He created the world. Are we concerned about that? He's going to come back. But see, here is the judgment. But listen, here is also the promise. They're going to see him again. They're going to see him again. But right now, your synagogue of Satan is left to you desolate. So Matthew 1:21, she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. For he will save his people from his sins. Did Jesus save his people? He went to the cross and has offered them salvation. They denied it. But the promise is, he will save them. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. You can go back to Isaiah chapter 7, there it is. But he keeps that theme of God with Israel. We like to go back and steal that, don't we? I love to listen to that at Christmas. I love that song, those songs. I love them. God is with us. But you take the theme where it first started, Isaiah chapter 7 and 8, it's mentioned three times for Israel. And now, he says it again, they shall call his name Emmanuel in chapter 1 of Matthew. Because it's to Israel that he first came. And he will save them. Luke 1:31, and behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. God is with us. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. That's an earthly throne, folks. And he will reign over the house of Jacob. That's the 12 tribes, the DNA. Anybody have a father? Is this Jacob your grandfather, great-great-great-great-grandfather? See, we want to say we're the house of Israel so much in the church. Well, I've never heard anybody say we're the house of Jacob. We're the DNA of Jacob, because we are not. Jesus will rule over the throne of David, and he will reign over the DNA, the people, the house of Jacob. And his kingdom, there will be no end. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy. And then Jesus died on the cross, and we say, what do we want to say? Jesus, you failed. You only had 11 people that followed you. That didn't work. What next? Knowing this, speaking of what Gary's going through again, there's a system of dispensation, stewardships, and ages. And God doesn't change. He doesn't make a promise and say, I didn't mean it. I didn't see that coming, so I can't keep that promise. Right? So Luke 1:67, and his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people, and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from of old, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us. That's applicable today. To show the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to our father Abraham. The oath that he swore to our father Abraham, Jesus came based on that oath, and then died on the cross, and said, I will go away, and then he said, I will come back again. And that's what this church believes. That's what we teach. That we're not church egocentric. It's not just about the church. Jesus said, I have other people, other sheep of a pasture. In Ephesians 2 and 3, he breaks down the dividing wall between the Jews and the Gentiles and allows those who with faith come together, and we're just a part of that. We'd love to see a whole crowd of Jews in here. And there's only a few out there that know Jesus, but there will be a bunch. But how is he going to get them there? How is he going to get them there? Romans 11, lest you be wise in your own eyes. I do not want you to be unaware of this mystery, brothers. A partial hardening has come on Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. And in this way, all the Israel will be saved. As it is written, the deliverer will come from Zion. He will banish ungodliness from Jacob, the DNA. And this will be my covenant with them when I take away their sins. Isn't this, this is fantastic. This is lovely. This is future. This is coming. This hasn't happened. What are you looking forward to? I'm looking forward to this. I'm looking forward to what Jesus is going. We live in the most dramatic time ever. Ever.
Amen.
You know, there was only a few out there with the sheep that night when Jesus showed up as a baby. Herod had one. A bunch of people tried to, you know, kill the kids, and well, they did kill the kids. And there was only a few out there that got the word. And so people say, would you like to live during Jesus' time? Well, I have a little problem with that, because there was only a few shepherds that got the word, and then there was only 11 that followed him. And I would have liked to have said, yeah, I'm going to follow him and all that thing, but that was in Israel. And then he said, then he died. And then he said, when he raised from the dead, and yes, he did raise, that's our hope, he told the 12, he told the group at the time, go through Judea, go through Samaria, and then you go to the other ends of the earth. And that's what we're here for. That's what we're doing. So we've been doing this for 2,000 years, going through the ends of the earth. But yet, now, something has changed. I told you this last time, the hand, the nation of Israel. Isaiah 66:8, can a country be born in a day? The minute hand is Jerusalem Luke 21:20, but when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then know that it's the desolation that has come near. That did happen before three times, and the last time was in 70 AD. And then the second hand, the Temple Mount, Joel 3:21, I will gather all the nations and bring them down to the valley of Jehoshaphat, which is right outside the temple, and I will enter into judgment with them there on behalf of my people and my heritage, Israel. My heritage, Israel. We have to watch the clock. Watch the clock. Jesus said, therefore stay awake. Does that mean watch? Stay awake, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But understand this, if the home owner had known and was not watch of the night, the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not let his house be broken into. For this reason, you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come in an hour you do not expect. Anybody expect him last Friday? Or Saturday? Or this morning? Or now? And I'd say, no, not really. I'm not sure. Not really. The point here is this, that he can come at any moment. And we must be righteous, walking righteously when he comes. We must be watching. And so we're watching. And some of you know that I have alarms set all over the place. I mean, this is what I do. So look, watch. 1948, the hour hand. Its name is Israel. The U.S. recognizes the Jewish state. That has happened, right? They're in the land. They're in unbelief. Schlacht Jerusalem, the battle for Jerusalem. That's the minute hand. Did that battle happen? Yes, 1967. But remember, she will be surrounded by the armies one more time. Zechariah chapter 14, okay? And Amos and Joel. So the battle for Jerusalem, that is the minute hand. It's really still going on. It's still going on. And you know what still has to take place? Well, the battle for Jerusalem was won by Israel, but it's still going on because they hate her and they're coming against her. But you know what still is going on as well and is right in the middle is the battle for the Temple Mount. And we don't hear much about this. This is the second hand. The Dome of the Rock, the Haram al-Sharif, is that a Hebrew name? No. The Al-Aqsa Mosque, is that a Hebrew name? No. Who watches over the Temple Mount? The police, the Waqf, the Jordanians and the Arab police do not allow the Jews on the Temple Mount. Now, sometimes they do. They definitely cannot go up there and pray. Christians cannot go up there and pray. Who has reign over the Temple Mount? Well, Israel still has domination over it, but they have allowed the Arabs to rule or to police the Temple Mount. Is that what God was saying? Is that what God wants? No. And in fact, this is what God is angry about. So last week, we asked, because of their ignorance before God, because of their reliance on other nations, because of them rejecting their God's Son, they are dead. Remember, if you eat of this tree, you will surely live. That is to live, to live. But if you die, you will. If you eat of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil, you will die. To die. You die. Because in disobedience and disbelief, you die twice. You die physically and you die spiritually. In Christ, you die once and you're born twice. You're born as a physical human being, and then you're born again according to Jesus, to Nicodemus in the book of John. And you and I are born again. But Israel is still dead physically. So last week we talked about, can these bones live? In Ezekiel 36, Ezekiel said, Lord, only you know. And the answer is yes. They can. We went through that last week. 37, I should say. So in Ezekiel 36, just take this through the us. Let's just us take this and go through it. And you, son of man, prophesy to the mountains. That's the strength of Israel. And say, O mountains of Israel, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, because the enemy said of you, aha, and the ancient heights have become our possession. Therefore prophesy and say, thus says the Lord God, precisely because they made you desolate and crushed you from all sides, so that you become the possession of the rest of the nations, and you become the talk and evil gossip of the people. Therefore, O mountains of Israel, hear the word of the Lord God. Thus says the Lord God to the mountains and the hills, the ravines and the valleys, the desolate waste and the deserted cities, which have become prey and derision to the rest of the nations all around. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, surely I have spoken in my hot jealousy against the rest of the nations and all Edom, who gave my land to themselves as a possession with wholehearted joy and utter contempt, that they might make its pasture lands a prey. Therefore prophesy concerning the land of Israel and say to the mountains and the hills and the ravines and the valleys, thus says the Lord God, behold, I have spoken in my jealousy and wrath, because you have suffered the reproach of the nations. Therefore thus says the Lord God, I swear that the nations that all around you themselves shall suffer reproach. Now, the mountains of Israel, in particular, the main mountain is Jerusalem. It is on the mountain of God. The mountains of Israel stretch from Hebron, which is just south of Jerusalem, and stretches up to the Lebanon border. All right? Now, in Ezekiel 38, that's exactly what happens. Is on the mountains of Israel, the dead of the enemy are slain. Now, I want you to focus on Edom here. He says, all the rest of the nations, and there's a place where it says all the nations of the earth come against her. But he singles out Edom. Who is Edom? Esau is Jacob's son. Remember, the rebellious son. When, Esau, Jacob wanted the promise, Jacob and Esau are Isaac's sons. Jacob was promised the promise, the DNA, the 12 tribes. Esau wanted the blessing. And so Esau, when Jacob got the blessing, Esau was jealous. And to show his mom and dad contempt, what did he do? He went out and married four Canaanite and Hittite wives. Canaanite and Hittite wives. That basically covers from north to south. Then his DNA married also into the Ishmaelites. Okay, so where is Edom's DNA? Where is Esau's DNA? It's throughout the Middle East. It is throughout the Middle East. Now, what happened in particular when Babylon was coming down, the Edomites were pushed out of their territory and they came north, and they helped Babylon take prisoners. The Edomites actually took Israeli prisoners and gave them to Babylon. And then they infiltrated the land and they lived in Israel, and they do to this day. Now, that's why the Romans, when they came in, and the Greeks, they came in, they changed the name to Edomia. Edom is in there, and Judea is in there. And the Philistines became Palestinians. That's a Roman term. So the Edomites are all the way through that land. What is the Lord promising? Go read Obadiah, just one short chapter. In the day of the Lord, which is during tribulation, the Lord will come up against Edom. So in verse 8, but you, O mountains of Israel, shall shoot forth your branches and yield your fruit to my people Israel, for they will soon come home. For behold, I am for you. I will turn to you, and you shall be tilled and sown, and I will multiply people on you, the whole house of Israel, all of it. The cities shall be inhabited, and the waste places rebuilt. And I will multiply on you man and beast, that they shall multiply and be fruitful, and I will cause you to be inhabited as in your former times, and you will do more, and will do more good to you than ever before. So that's the summary statement, those last few verses there, that God is planning to do more for them than ever before. And by the way, when you get into heaven, God's going to do more for you than ever before. You remember, and I mentioned it every once in a while, somebody wrote a semi-famous book, Your Best Life Now. And it's not your best life now, it's your worst. You're living your worst life now. You will live your best life because Paul said, eye is not seen, ear is not heard, but the Lord has in store for those who love him. So that's what you have in store for you. That principle goes to Israel, and it goes to Jacob. But now watch here in verse 9. I will turn to you. In other words, I'm going to start paying attention to you. He always has. But when he turns, he's getting ready to act. And when he's getting ready to act, what's the first thing he does? He tills them. My middle name is Tillman. Did you know my middle name is Tillman? Well, Tillman's a farmer's name. All my ancestors were fishermen. I don't understand where the Tillman came from. It came from my grandpa. I know. Tillman Columbus. I could have taken to Columbus, but Tillman. Somebody knows I don't till unless I have to. I do sometimes. He's going to till them. What happens when you till? You tear things up. You know, things come up in the summer and you get all your fruit and all your stuff, and then it kind of dies out. And then the land is sitting there kind of used up some, muddy and ugly and lots of weeds, Gary, right? Lots of stuff. What do you do, Dan? Pull out the big tractors and till it up. Israel has to be tilled. Israel is being tilled. Do you want to know where you're at right now? You're right there. I will bring you home and till you. And they are being tilled right now. Now, I also want to remind you that there's half of the Jews of the world are in the United States. It still baffles me how he's going to get them home. Because they will come home. Then you will know that I'm the Lord. When I till you, and when I bless you, you will know that I'm the Lord. I will let people walk on you, even my people Israel, and they shall possess you, and you shall be their inheritance. Now, this can be taken one of two ways. This can be taken as a negative, but I also want to remind you that I think here it could possibly be a blessing, because it says later that people are going to be hanging on to the robes of the Jews, and they're going to, Israel is going to become their inheritance as far as a blessing. Though Abraham will bless all the nations. This could be taken as a positive that Israel, the kings of the earth and all the people of the earth will come up to Jerusalem time after time. It could be taken that way. But thus says the Lord God, because they say to you, you devour your people, and you bereave your nation of children, therefore you shall no longer devour people, and no longer bereave your nation of children, declares the Lord God. I will not let you hear any more of the reproach of the nations, and you shall no longer bear the disgrace of the peoples, and no longer cause your nation to stumble, declares the Lord. So because of verse 13 through 15, I believe 12 is the negative context. That people are going to walk on you because you walk on people. I want to remind you what Habakkuk says. That he was crying out because of the violence. And what is being done to Gaza right now, and what will happen to Gaza, is a disaster. It is, it's very, very sad that it has to happen, but I'm of the course that they have no course. They have no other course. Because if they don't tear down Hamas, this will happen again. And so it's concerning, mostly, Hamas. Verse 16, the word of the Lord came to me, son of man. When the house of Israel lived in their own land, they defiled it by their ways and their deeds. Their ways before me were like uncleanness of a woman in her menstrual impurity. So I poured out my wrath upon them for the blood that they had shed in the land, for the idols with which they had defiled. I scattered them among the nations, and they were dispersed through the countries. In accordance with their ways and their deeds, I judged them. But when they came to the nations, wherever they came, they profaned my name, my holy name, and that people said to them, these are the people of the Lord, and yet they have to go out of his land. But I had concern for my holy name, which the Lord, which the house of Israel had profaned among the nations to which they came. And so I will take you from the nations and gather you from all of the countries and bring you into the land. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean from all your uncleanness, and from all your idols I will cleanse you. And I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit I will put within you. I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you the heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. You shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I will be your God. Now again, much of the church has stolen much of these verses. Now, let me caveat here, okay? You can use these verses because you know that God has done this for you. Does anybody remember their former life? Remember, Paul said, you remember your former life in the ways that we once walked in darkness. But at some point, we got sorry for that. At some point, the Spirit condemned you, accused you, and you turned. And so because of that fact, you know that this can be a fact. So that when Israel is brought up, and again, it's happening all over the nation now, in many of the big cities, the blue cities, by the way, what's happening? The Palestinian flags are going up. They're raising their voices against God and against his promises. They disgraced God. Israel did disgrace God. And that's why the nations complain. That's why they still, to this day, complain about Israel. So real quickly, he promised two things. Israel's deliverance and judgment on all the nations. And what we're seeing right now in the middle of the Middle East is just a portion of that. Real briefly, Israel's in the land in disbelief. Isaiah 60, Ezekiel 36 and 37. They're going to be tilled, Ezekiel 36, and overcome in 36 and 37 in Ezekiel. We know what is happening. That Israel is being tilled, and at some point, they will live in peace. At some point, now that's a false peace, by the way. They will live in peace, and a false peace, because of their pride, God is going to make them run. He will make them run from Israel one more time. And that's where this is going. But real quick, the place that we're at right now is this, that America has not turned against Israel. And I thought Biden would really give her up, and he has not. And I'm very, very surprised about how strong he has come. The second Kerry group is on the way. And so it's likely, I said, that Russia and Iran will not get involved. They're going to sacrifice Hamas. They may sacrifice Hezbollah. I believe Israel will win through this because they're destined to be strong in 36 and 37. But I want to remind you that we don't know the timing of these things. When in a blink of an eye, something changes. And I want to remind you this. America is in the way. Right now, because of America, World War III has not started. And at some point, America has to be taken out. How does that happen? Do we just end up in disbelief? Is there a rapture of 10% of the people? Can you imagine 10 out of every 100 cops, 10 out of every military, out of every 100 military disappearing in a rapture? A devastation to America? We don't know. This is why it's said to watch for what God will do and be strong in what is coming, because we don't have the timing of all these things, but we know it in faith. Lord, we worship you and praise you, but we do not want to be like Hezekiah in his last days, who said, okay, I'm saved. At least I'm saved. I don't care what happens to everybody else. That was basically his attitude. Lord, we don't want to be that way. Because of the faith that you've given us, because you have saved us, we want to share the love of Jesus Christ with those people we know. Help us to carry the word of hope, the word of faith to people who may be afraid, who may not know what's going on. We know, we just don't know when, but we know that you will overcome all things. And we praise you in Jesus' precious name for it. Amen.